Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, for the love that you've given us, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, for this morning, for allowing us, Lord, to be able to come together to worship you and to lift your name on high, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for opening up our hearts to you, Father God. And we ask, Lord, that your spirit, Lord, just allow us, Lord, to understand truth and allow us, Lord, to be able to grow in you, Father. We ask, Lord, for your spirit to move among us and that your truth, Lord, may be revealed. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. So we woke up to a nice fall morning, so to speak. To tomorrow, it'll be summer again. Right? It's just the way our weather is around here. But hey, we'll take them when we can get them. We had enough heat for a while. I think this is a nice change of pace. And we all like, I don't know, I like this kind of weather. I like it to be a little bit colder. Some people don't like cold weather. Some people don't get, they prefer it to be hot. We got a guy at work. It can be 100 degrees outside and he still wears his jacket. How he does it, it's beyond me. But he does. How are we doing this morning? Has God been good to you? God's been good. He's always good. Let me ask you this. What kind of excuses have you heard in your lifetime? Say at work, at home, if you have kids. Right? As parents, I think we've heard all sorts of excuses. Right? I think the biggest one that goes on in my house, I didn't see it when it's sitting right there. Right? Did you find it? I didn't see it. What do you mean you didn't see it? I didn't see it. Did you look for it? I didn't see it. It's right there, right in front of you. At work, right? I don't know, maybe some of you are bosses, right? Or managers or were managers or something. And your employees, they have all sorts of excuses that they make, right? For why they come in late or why they can't make it to work. Or maybe we call in, right? We call in sick when we're not. You know, have you ever done that? You don't have to raise your hand, right? You don't have to tell me. But it seems like, I mean, we make excuses of all sorts of excuses, it seems. We all have excuses that we make, I think. One way or for one reason or another, you know. And this week, I have to confess that I had some excuses ready. On Wednesday, I had to go to downtown for jury duty. And I had all my excuses lined up. If I was going to go back to the jury room, right? I was going, you know what? I don't know that I can serve on this jury because my wife works for the City of Baytown Police Department. And I'm not so sure I'd be a good juror. And if that one didn't work, then I was going to say, well, you know, I'm a pastor at the church in LaPorte, and I don't know that I would be a good juror. So I had my excuse lined up, but instead of even having to use them, they let me go. So I didn't even get a chance to use my excuses, you know. But that was good because I got an opportunity to do something else, which was even better, where I got to visit a brother in the hospital before I went to work, right? Gave me an opportunity to go by there and had a prayer time with him, and then I went back to work, and I was late to work, obviously, but I had a good excuse this time. Like, I'm always late to work. I got to confess, I'm always late to work. I'm supposed to be at work at 7. I am. My hours are from 7 to 4:30. I get there about 7:30 every day. I'm not supposed to do that. Nobody ever said anything yet. So I work from 7:30 to 5, you know, make up my extra half hour. So I never have any, it's not a valid excuse. I just don't wake up on time in the morning. I know what time I got to leave. Every now and then I'll leave on time. But Wednesday, I was at jury duty, so it was okay for me to be late, right? It's a good excuse. You know, there. And as I was looking at today's, getting ready for today's, I came across this illustration. It says, there was a commanding officer who was mad because his men had gone on leave or had some time away from the base. It was 9 of them, and they were all late coming back. And he was upset. And the first one comes in and he says, "Where have you been?" He says, "I'm sorry, sir. I was on a date. It got late on me and I lost track of time and I missed a bus back. And I had to get on a cab. And as we were driving in the cab broke down. Luckily, we were by a farm and there was a farmer there and I bought the horse from him. But as I was riding the horse in, the horse died. And I had to walk the rest of the way home." And the commanding officer's like, "Yeah, okay." So then the second guy comes, he says, "Where have you been?" He says, "I'm sorry, sir. You know, I was on this date and I was running late and I lost track of time and I missed the bus and then I had to catch a cab and the cab broke down and luckily it was by a farm and I bought this horse from the farmer, but on the way in, the horse died. And I had to walk the rest of the way home." So then the third one, the fourth one, the eighth one comes, and they all have the same excuse. And then the last one, finally, he starts to arrive and says, "Where have you been?" He says, "Sir, I'm sorry, you know, I was on this date, and I lost track of time, and I missed my bus, and on the way in, you know, I got a cab ride, and the cab broke down." The officer says, "Wait a second. Then you bought a horse from the farmer, and then it died on you, and then you got here late." "No, no, no, sir. I was on the cab, but it took forever to get here because we had to go around all the dead horses." Right? Excuses. Right? I think we all make excuses, or maybe we have excuses for certain things that might come our way. But you know, if we're not careful, when we talk about the things of God, excuses will cause us to miss out on serving God and giving ourselves to God. Right? But let's open up our Bibles. Let's begin with a man who didn't give any excuses. Then we're going to talk about four men, or go through four men who did have excuses, and see what the outcome was. But if you let us begin in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And if we could stand in reverence to the Word of God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go out of your land, your relatives, and your father's house, to the land that I will show you.'" Again, this is the Lord speaking to Abram. "Go out of your land, your relatives, and your father's house, to the land that I will show you." And then it says later on that he got up and he went. Right? If we could be seated. Abram received the call of God, and he got up and he went. He didn't make excuses. He didn't say, "But I'm leaving my land behind. You know, I'm just building this new house. I have this nice plot of land. It's ideal. My wife is here. My father's here. My family's here." He didn't do that. God called. He got up and went. Look, as you read the story of his calling, he didn't even ask where. Right? Imagine that. Imagine somebody coming to you and saying, "Hey, I need you to go to this place. And you got to leave everybody and everything behind. And you just go where I tell you." And they don't tell you where you're going. And you're going to go back and tell somebody. Maybe, you know, you're married. You're going to tell your spouse, "Hey, we're going to go somewhere." Like, "Where are we going?" "I don't know. We're just going to go." What's going to be the reaction of the spouse or your family? What do you mean you don't know? Right? Abram, can you imagine that conversation? Abram going back and speaking to his wife, honey, we're leaving. Where are we going? I don't know. We're leaving. Right? But Abram gets up and goes. But these four men we're going to look at. Moses, Gideon, Jonah, and Ananias. They had excuses. And maybe some of them we can relate to. Maybe. Maybe some we can't. But we can certainly learn from them. Moses. We know the story of Moses. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. He kills an Egyptian. He's found out. He runs. And while he's there, he gets married, becomes a sheep herder. And when he's encountered by God, this is exactly what he's doing. He's herding sheep. And he's taking them. And as he's out there, he sees a burning bush. Right? But as he looks at it, he notices that the bush is not really burning up. It's not being consumed. It's on fire, but it's not burning up. So imagine you being out there in the wilderness and you see something on fire, but it's not burning. It's kind of hard to imagine, right? So you go up a little closer, try. Maybe you're curious now. I can see Moses' curiosity being, you know, rising, and he gets closer to that burning bush, and then all of a sudden he hears a voice, stop. Come no closer, because the ground you're on is holy ground. And this is God speaking to Moses. Moses had left Egypt behind. He left all that stuff behind. He wasn't worried about it anymore. And he tells Moses, I've heard the cry of my people in Egypt and how they're being, you know, oppressed and treated. And I'm sending you to go get them out, to speak to Pharaoh. And this is what Moses says in Exodus chapter 3, verses 11, starting on verse 11 through 14. And we're going to be jumping around a little bit. So hang in with me there with Moses. He has plenty of excuses. Chapter 3, verses 11 through 14, it says, But Moses asked God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And this is God. He answered, I will certainly be with you, and this will be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship God at this mountain. Then Moses asked God, If I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Do you catch Moses' first excuses? God says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to release my people. And what does Moses say? Why me? Who am I? Right? Like, I'm just a guy tending sheep. I'm a nobody. And God says, I'm going to be with you. And then he says, but I don't even know your name. Who am I going to tell them that sent me? And God answers, tell them that I am sent you. Right? When God calls us, it's not because we're nobodies. It's because we are somebody in his hands. Right? Here's Moses saying, why me? I'm just Moses. Right? Have you ever said that? Well, I'm just so-and-so. I can't do that. God can't. You can't be calling me. I'm just me. And God says, I'm going to be with you. You see, when God calls us, he's not just going to take us and leave us alone. He's going to be with us. So the excuse of I'm nobody and I can't do it, I don't know who you are, don't work before God. But Moses, he was kind of stubborn. Not like us. You know, we're not stubborn people in here. But Moses was stubborn. He continues, and God explains to him who he is and how to tell the people who he is and all those things. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, Moses continues. He says, "Then Moses answered, 'What if they won't believe me and will not obey that I obey me, but say, the Lord did not appear to you?' They'll never believe what I've got to tell them. They'll never believe me. I can't go. I'm a nobody. I don't know your name. And besides, they're not going to believe me." And God gives him a series of miracles. Moses is carrying a staff, and God says, "Throw the staff on the ground." He throws the staff on the ground, and the staff becomes a snake. And Moses jumps back. I don't know if you've ever seen a snake. I don't know if you're scared of snakes. You know, I'm not too fond of snakes. I'd rather not be around them. But Moses jumps back, and God says, "Grab the snake by the tail." And he grabs the snake by the tail, and it becomes a staff again. He says, "You're going to show them that." He says, and if they don't believe that, then you're going to do this. Put your hand in your cloak. And he puts his hand in his cloak. It's kind of like a jacket or something. Now take it out. He takes it out, and it's all diseased, it says, and white as snow. And he says, "Put your hand back in your cloak." And he puts it back in the cloak, and then he brings it back out again, and it's back to normal. He says, "You're going to show them that." And he said, they still don't believe those first two signs. And what you're going to do is take water from the Nile River, and you're going to pour it on the ground. And as you pour it, that water is going to become blood. So Moses was trying to get out by saying, they're never going to believe me. And God says, "Look, I'm going to give you some signs. I'm going to show you what you're going to do and what you're going to say." Moses is trying to get out from serving God, but God's not going to let him. What excuses do we make to try to get out of service from God? Look at this last one that he gives. Chapter 4, verse 10 to 14, it says, "But Moses replied to the Lord, 'Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, either in the past or recently, or since you have been speaking to your servants, because I am slow and hesitant in speech.'" All right, let me stop there in verse 10. He says, "I have never been eloquent," and he's talking about how he speaks. Maybe Moses had a problem with stuttering. Maybe he had a problem with getting his words out, whatever it might have been. But he was saying to God, "I'm not a very good spokesman. You can't send me." How many of us say, "Well, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to talk in front of people. I don't know what to do." But this is what God says to Moses. Yahweh said to him, Who made the human mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, Yahweh? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." Moses said, "Please, Lord, send someone else." See, Moses was out of excuses. God confronted every excuse that he had. He says, "God, can't you just send someone else?" And this is what happens. It says, verse 14, "Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, 'Isn't Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and also he is on his way now to meet you. He will rejoice when he sees you.'" God got angry with Moses because of the excuses he kept giving him. "God, I can't go. I'm a no one. Who am I to tell Pharaoh to let these people go? Besides, I don't know who you are or your name, and they're not going to believe me. God, I can't speak very well. Can't you just please send someone else?" Have we been in that position? Maybe we haven't used those excuses. Maybe we haven't said, "Who am I?" But have we ever been called by God to do something and say, "God, can't you just send someone else?" Can't you just send someone else? For whatever reason, we don't want to get up and serve Him. And we're confronted with excuses that we make. And this next one, Gideon. It was a time of the judges, and when you read through the book of Judges, this time period is considered kind of like one of the dark eras of the Israelite history. The people would be faithful to God for a little while, then they would rebel against God. And God said, if you don't hold to my word, then I'm going to have to bring punishment upon you. So God was faithful to his word. And when they rebelled against God, God would send somebody to come in and conquer the land. And after a while, after being under captivity or under conquest, the people would call out to God and ask God for forgiveness. And God would forgive them and send them someone to rescue them, a judge to bring them out of captivity. So this happens over and over and over again. And here we get to a point when they are in captivity, they've gone back against the word of God. God has sent someone, and now Gideon is out there just minding his own business. And the Lord shows up, and he says in Judges chapter 6, verse 11 through 15, "The angel of the Lord came, and he sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine vat in order to hide it from the Midianites. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'The Lord is with you, a mighty warrior.' Gideon said to him, 'Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? And where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about? They said, "Hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the power of Midian. Am I not sending you?" And this is Gideon speaking in verse 15. He said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look, my family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." God shows up. The angel of God shows up, meets Gideon, and this is how he greets them, right? He says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Like Gideon must not have caught that. Right? Like if God came to me and said, "Man, you are a mighty warrior," I'd be like, "Yeah, I'm a mighty warrior." But Gideon, he must have not caught that, right? He was blinded by maybe the place he was at. He said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And what is Gideon's response? He basically says, "Yeah, right, the Lord is with us. Look at where we're at. Where are the wonders that he has done? Where are the wonders that our fathers told us about? He's with us for real." And the Lord says, "I'm sending you, Gideon, to rescue my people from Midian." Remember the greeting? "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. I'm sending you to go and rescue my people." And what's the excuse that we hear? Right, you hear Gideon. I mean, you can hear it, right? Verse 15. "Please, Lord. Me?" Right? You can almost, if it was like modern day, translation, "Are you serious? My family is like the weakest in all the land. We're weaklings. And me, I'm like the runt of the family. And you're sending me?" It was an excuse. Because God had already proclaimed to Gideon, and he already called him mighty warrior. Mighty warrior. He was already called. And Gideon didn't realize it, but he had already been prepared to lead his people out of captivity, or out of the oppression of Midian and the Midianites. But he had an excuse. He had an excuse. What about Jonah? We know the story of Jonah, right? I mean, we've read the story of Jonah. You know, here's a man, God sends us to Nineveh. He doesn't want to go, and he gets on a boat. He gets swallowed by a big fish and end up going to Nineveh anyway. But what was Jonah's excuse for not wanting to go to Nineveh? I mean, I think this is like the wildest excuse of them all, right? You can say, I'm not a very good person, or you can say, you know, who am I, or I'm, you know, I'm weak, or I can't talk very well, or any of these things. But listen to Jonah's excuse for not wanting to go to Nineveh. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. This is his excuse for not wanting to go to Nineveh. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. Jonah wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. I mean, that was his desire, right? Verse 2. He prayed to the Lord, "Please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled toward Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to become angry, rich in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Did you catch his excuse for not wanting to go to Nineveh? God sent him to Nineveh, and he says, "Look, I didn't want to go to Nineveh because I knew you were going to forgive them. I knew you're compassionate and loving and slow to anger, and I knew that if they repented, you were going to forgive them. I didn't want you to forgive them. I wanted you to destroy them." Right? I mean, that's his excuse. He didn't want to go because God was going to forgive them. God says, "Hey, go talk to that person about Jesus Christ." "I don't want you to forgive them. I don't want to be with him in heaven." What? I mean, right? That's what Jonah is essentially doing, right? He says, "Go talk to them." "I don't want to go. They don't like me, and I don't like them, and I don't want to be in heaven with them for all eternity." What? Did you see Jonah's reaction? He's mad at God for forgiving the Ninevites. And then he says, "Why don't you just kill me? It's better for me just to die," right? You catch that in verse 3? "And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Man, he's mad because somebody was forgiven. We shouldn't be mad when somebody is forgiven. We should rejoice when somebody comes to Christ. But that was his excuse for not going to Nineveh in the first place. He says, "I knew you were going to forgive him. I just knew you were, so I'm going to go somewhere else." And one last one. Ananias. Chapter 9 of Acts. Now we know the story of Saul. We know that Saul was this guy who was going around persecuting the followers of Jesus Christ. He was getting them thrown in jail. He was there when Stephen was killed. I mean, he's been there, and he's on his way to Damascus with letters from the high priest to imprison the followers of Jesus. But on the way to Damascus, he's encountered with Jesus Christ, and his life is changed. And now he's been blind for 3 days. He's been fasting for these 3 days. And God comes and he speaks to Ananias. And God says in chapter 9, verses 10 through 14, he tells Ananias, you need to go and speak to this guy Saul. He says, there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, here I am, Lord, he said. Get up and go to the street called Straight. The Lord said to him, to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and placing his hands on him so he can regain his sight. And then this is Ananias answering. He says, Lord, I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your servants in Jerusalem, and he has authority here from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. He says, God, you can't send me to that guy. He doesn't like us. He doesn't like us, and he just wants to imprison us. I've heard all the horror stories about him. He's just mean. And Ananias was right. Saul was not a good guy, at least not to the believers. And he was getting thrown in prison and all these different things. And Ananias is like, I can't go to him. Haven't you heard what he's done to your people? And God says, you need to go. Verse 15, the Lord said to him, go. For this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to Gentiles, kings, and the Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. God says, go. So we have these four distinct individuals. Moses, Gideon, Jonah, Ananias. And they're all giving excuses to God why they can't serve or why they can't do what he wants them to do. But what's the common denominator? God is the one that made the call. So they have no choice but to do what God has spoken. Right? And the outcome of each of these, when they first refuse in these excuses, but when God essentially caused them to go because he gave them no choice, the Israelites are set free from Egyptian rule. The Israelites are released and escape from Midianite oppression. The people of Nineveh are forgiven. Saul becomes Paul and becomes one of the great missionaries for the gospel of Jesus Christ. When God calls, there's a purpose behind his calling. And there is no excuse that's going to be valid before him that's going to cause him to say, okay, I'll send someone else. If you've been called to serve God, then serve God. And don't make an excuse or try to get out of it. Because guess what? In the end, God's will be done. If God is calling us to move, then we need to be like Abram and get up and go. We may not know the direction. We may not know the exact place. Man, when God says get up, Abram got up and he went. There's no need for excuses. Moses had a whole bunch of them. Gideon had some. Jonah had his. Ananias had his, but none of them excuses were valid in the eyes of God. What excuses have we put before God that have prevented us from serving Him completely? What excuses have we put before God that have prevented us from giving our lives completely to Him? If we could stand up. If we could close our eyes and bow our heads. What are your excuses? Sometimes we try to justify our excuse. Moses, he tried, but he kind of ran out. And he just wanted God to send somebody else. But God said, no, you're going. You're the one I've called. What are the excuses that we've made, that we've tried to justify? Why don't we come? And whatever it has been, give that excuse up to God. Just give it up to Him. Why don't we submit ourselves to Him? Say, God, I don't want to make any more excuses. I don't want to make any more excuses. I just want to do what You want me to do. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, God, I don't want to make excuses anymore. I just want to submit to You. I just want to submit to You. I don't want to make excuses. Are you willing to give that up to Him? Is He calling you? Is He moving you in one direction or another? And you keep moving back? Why don't we just give up them excuses and follow Him? Listen, has the Spirit of God been speaking to you? Maybe you've never committed your life to Him. Maybe you've been making excuses for not giving your life to Him. But the Spirit of God's been speaking to your heart. And you want to give your life to Him, just raise your hand and we'll pray with you. If there's something you've been struggling with, whatever it might be, you don't have to tell me. But if you want me to pray for you, just simply raise your hand. I'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Know that as I pray, the altar's open. And you can come and speak to God. For whatever it might be, whatever might be on your heart, feel free and come and speak with Him. Let us pray. Father God, we come before You and we give You glory, honor, and praise. We thank You for what You've done and the love You've given us. Father, I ask for me, for forgiveness of putting excuses before You. Lord, I surrender to You, and Lord, help me not to make things up, but that I may give myself more wholly to You, that I may become a better leader for Your people, that I may become a better leader for the family You've given me. Father, forgive me for excuses that I've made in the past. And help me to walk with You more. Father, I ask that You be with those who are at Your altar, Father God. You know their hearts. You know their minds and You know their prayer, Father God. And Lord, I ask that You bless them. And as I seek your direction, Father God, I ask that, you let your spirit to guide them. And as they submit to you, Father God, if they're submitting to you for direction, if they're giving up excuses and just giving themselves up to you, Father God, I ask that you bless them. Father, be with those who are in their seats, who raise their hands, Father God. You know their hearts. And you know what they're asking for. And Father, be with them. Bless them, encourage them, and allow them to see your hand in their lives. Allow your spirit to just overflow them, Father God, with your grace. Father, be with your church. Be with the leaders and the members of your house. And allow us, Lord, allow us to serve you more faithfully. Father, be with those who couldn't make it this morning, Lord. For whatever reason it might have been, bless them and keep them in your hands, Father God. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for mercy, for grace, for love. Father, I thank you for your Son who died on the cross on our behalf. Father, I thank you for your Spirit who leads us to all truth and guides us in life. Father, I thank you for this day, for allowing us to come together to worship your name. Be with us, Lord, as we leave your house. But allow us to always be in your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.